you got to charge more. And I was like, I can't, like, who's going to buy that from me? And he's like, no, you got to set your value. Let them know, you know, this is valuable material. It's worth this. And I remember the first time we put prices up to like 250, and I was like, no one's going to buy it. No one made a peep. The same calls came through, the same sales, more sales. What I've learned is you have to know that your product's worth it, and you have to put some sort of value behind it, because if you keep keeping it at $50 or $100, people are going to wonder why.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Small Business Storytellers. This podcast is for you if you see business as a tool for making the world a better place. My name is Seth Silvers. I'll be your host, and one of my biggest passions is learning from businesses who are growing without losing their authenticity. On season two, we are learning about how to thrive in times of crisis as we learn from businesses who have been impacted by the coronavirus pandemic. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. Let's dive in. Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Small Business Storytellers. This will be a fun episode because I'm getting finally to talk with somebody that I've been wanting to connect with more for about a year. I met Lisa Collum about a year ago on, it was Instagram or YouTube or something online, and I was really intrigued and have just kind of stayed in touch with what she's been doing. And so, Lisa, I'm really excited for you to get to share your story and what you're doing with our audience today. So thanks so much for joining the show.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited.
Absolutely. So to start, Lisa, give us some context for who are you and what is your life look like right now? What is, you know, work life, family life? Just like what is if you described Lisa's life to somebody, what does that look like?
Crazy chaos. Well, first I'm a mom of four, so I've got 14-year-old.
So crazy chaos is probably true.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got every age. I've got 14, 12, 8, and 3. So from preschool to high school, I'm covered. And I'm also the author and owner of Top School Writing. So that's where I write curriculum, and schools buy my curriculum to teach students how to write. And then I also am the owner principal of a school, a small private school called Coastal Middle and High School.
Okay, that's awesome. And that's, most people don't like, I guess own a school probably wouldn't be the correct term, lead a school. Is that something that you, did you start the school?
I did not start the school. Okay. I found out about the school about 15 years ago, and it just intrigued me. It's a very one of a kind, hole in the wall, but it's specifically for kids that need it. And so I remember walking out after talking to the owner 15 years ago and turning around and saying, when you don't want this anymore, call me. Huh. And he called me 4 years ago. I did turn it into a nonprofit, but the school itself has been open for 40 years.
Wow. And when he called you 4 years ago and said, hey, you know, I'm taking you up on that rain check, were you still excited that you made that offer? Were you like a little bit, was there a little bit of like, oh goodness, what did I promise?
Exactly. So it was, well, here I was a teacher, you know, for 10 years, and I started Top School Writing. And then when he called to start school, or saying that the school was for sale, my first thought was, oh crap, I already have Top School Writing. And that was like, I was a one person show running this business that was booming all of a sudden in its fourth year. And then I thought, how am I going to run a school? I've been in like a teacher and educator. I don't have any administrative experience. My husband's looking at me like I'm crazy, but I just knew I wanted it. And I knew that I needed to have it to be able to provide that option for students. So it's just something that was like inside me, like, you got to get it, Lisa. Hmm.
That's amazing. I love that. So with your school and with your writing company, the curriculum company, it sounds like there's kind of this theme. And you mentioned that you were a teacher and then you created resources to then distribute to schools and stuff. So it kind of, am I right in thinking that you have kind of like created your own solutions to problems you've seen? Is that kind of what these two projects for you have been?
That's exactly it. And I think that's kind of the unique thing about it. Even when I go to present to schools, I'm looking at it from a teacher's point of view. So even when I go to train teachers on my program, I always start with my story as I was there. I saw this need. I know it's hard to find resources for writing. I know it's a hard subject to teach. So I created this to make life easier for you and the students. So for Top Score, it definitely started as that. And even with my school, like I saw being an educator that every kid doesn't fit inside this public school box. They're just not successful with, and it doesn't mean they're not as smart or anything's wrong. It's just they need a different way of teaching. So that's where my school kind of came into play.
Right. So take me back to when you were teaching, like what were some of, and kind of give the story of how you transitioned into, you know, starting your own business. What was that like? And what's the story behind this whole thing?
Yeah. So I wanted to be a teacher my whole life. I mean, since the time I was five, chalkboard in my room, my mom said I used to teach my stuff to animals. I always tell her, I'm like, just pretend I only did that when I was really little, because I'm pretty sure I did that for a long time. But right out of college, I got my first teaching job and I was super excited. I ended up at, our schools have grades, you know, so it was an F school, low performing students. But I was super excited and I asked for the curriculum because my principal said you're in charge of writing. And so for science, there's curriculum that teachers use and reading and math. And it's just a whole bunch of books, you know, with resources, but there was nothing for writing. There's still to this day is not a lot for writing. Writing kind of gets embedded within reading. And so there's sprinkles of it, but there's nothing that is a daily curriculum. So I remember thinking, what am I supposed to do? Like, what do I use? And the principal's like, just, you know, do your best, go off of what you've learned, use some resources that they have. And so I went home and I was like, I don't even know where to begin. And so I remember thinking, I'm just going to go off what I know, how I learned to write. And I thought I'm going to have to make it super basic and not, every time I brought up writing to kids, they would be like, oh, I hate writing. It's so hard. Because
what grade was this? How old were these kids?
This was fourth grade. So okay. They were about nine. And they just, oh, writing's the worst. And so I thought, I can't go in there saying, I'm going to teach you how to write an essay. So I decided to break apart all the pieces of an essay. So I just like on a whim came up with a way, and along the way kind of made the way. You know, I was like, okay, this is working. Let me do this. And ended up bringing their scores to 95% of them passing the state test, which they were at like 38% before.
Wow.
And then after that year, we were able to get 100% of them to pass for two more years. So it kind of became this thing of, whoa, this is like a really low school and everyone's passing the writing test. What are they doing? And people would ask me, and I'm like, I just kind of have this way. It's in my head. I didn't have anything written down. I would just share my ways. And I did that for years. I became like a writing coach and a specialist. And I just kept sharing my ways. And it wasn't until like my eighth year into teaching, I left the district to go take a job to teach virtually online. And because I had an opportunity for a fourth grade teacher online, I had just had my third kid and I thought, this is awesome. I can work at home in my pajamas, teach from my computer. And week one of that job, everyone starts calling that I used to work with. And they're like, where'd you go? We need those ideas. You used to tell us what to do. What do we do? And I'm like, oh, I left. I'm out of the district. And they're like, well, can you write it all down and we'll just buy it from you? And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not a business person at all. That's not going to happen. And after so many calls and emails, I remember sitting there and I was like, let me just see. And I Googled, like literally, how do you start a business in Florida? And the website came up and I remember clicking and clicking, and I was like, and I came with a name, and that's how it started. And it was just a small binder that I used to like print at Office Max. My kids and husband helped me hole punch it, put it in notebooks, and I had like a Microsoft Word slipcover I put in the front that said by Lisa Column, and I sold it. And I thought it was just a cool side hustle, and then district started buying it, and then teachers would share it to other teachers. And then before I knew it, I was like, in my second, third year, I was like, okay, I can't do online teaching and doing this on the side anymore. This has to be my full-time job. So, and it's grown into, I have curriculum kits, which are four books and a kit for second through 12th grade. And now we're nationwide. So it's grown into this huge thing.
Wow.
Not planned, thankfully it worked out, but yeah. It's been quite a journey figuring this all out.
I love it when businesses, when business owners are, I mean, they're really just solving their own problem and stuff and sharing their experience. I think that's when the most authentic businesses come through. And sure, there's time and a place to just, you know, sometimes you need to do things just to make money and stuff. And there's plenty of businesses that do that. But I always love hearing stories like that where you're actually solving your problem and then it happens to turn into a business. So you mentioned that you started it and then, you know, a couple of years later it was blowing up. Like, what did, tell us a little bit about that growth from kind of zero to like full-time and all across the country, second through 12th grade. How did things begin to grow? And what was that like from kind of like a business perspective of you going through that growth when I'm guessing that you don't have an MBA and you hadn't started multiple companies before? This was probably a new thing for you. So what was that like?
And that was the crazy part about it, right? So I just thought, I'll just sell binders on the side. And then I remember looking one night, there were 400 binders on my living room floor. And I had spent all day at Office Max. It was the weekend. I was getting ready to ship them. And, you know, my husband works full time. At that point, I had three kids and we're all working to do notebooks. And I remember thinking, I don't know what I'm doing. And this is turning into something big. And I kind of, for a moment, because confidence was always my thing, that kind of, I feel like I let kind of hold me back in a way. So I thought, I can't do this. Like, I'm not a business person. You know, all my degrees are in education. But, you know, it's funny, teachers talk to teachers. And when teachers say something good, word spreads. And that's literally how it started. I did very little on social media, but I did post stuff like on Facebook and Instagram, and just word of mouth is really how it started to grow. And so for me, it was like, I found myself in these big conference rooms and these meetings, and I would always pitch I was just a teacher. I know I just came up with it. And sometimes along the way it was hard because schools or big district leaders, people in high positions would ask me, you know, questions that I knew inside the reason why I created the curriculum. I knew my way was an easy way, but they would ask in a way like, we'll give you a perfect example. Why is there no creative writing in your curriculum? And I always say, I start with the basics and then we build from there and then they can become creative. But I feel like every kid needs to start with a certain structure to get those ideas out. But I would be intimidated a lot. So that was hard for me along the way because I just wouldn't speak up for myself. Now, I wish someone would ask me that question, but 7-8 years ago, I used to just kind of sit in those meetings and shrink down. So, you know, I think that was the hardest part is it expanded so fast and I found myself as this full-time entrepreneur, but I never used that word until 2 years ago. I just always be like, oh yeah, I just kind of like sell lessons on the side. So it was just a journey of literally, what do they say? Like you're building the plane as you're flying it. Literally, building business as I'm growing it and just along the way going, oh, I forgot about that. Or, oh, there's a Florida Department of Revenue. What's that? You know, and oh, this. Right. And so it was just a whirlwind, but definitely I always say all these experiences and challenges made me and my business who it is and or what I am today.
And it's awesome you have thousands of people that are following you online. You have stuff all over the country. I mean, it really is amazing. And was like childhood Lisa, were you obsessed with like writing and like developing through writing or like how did that passion start?
And that's funny because writing was not my thing. Actually, math was my thing. Oddly, like if you think like you're either on the writing reading side or the math science, but I actually started college my first year saying I was going to be a high school math teacher. That was my thing. I just loved, I don't know why, but I think it was, you know, that third year into college when you start getting into your actual classes that you're going to get your degree in, I got into some high calc and I was like, this is craziness. Like, I don't know if I'm going to do all that. So I ended up changing to elementary education, but my focus was on math and even reading. I liked reading, but I just kind of got thrown into that. And you know, I built a program on writing because it was my need, but I am like 100% teacher heart. So I don't care if you need me to teach biology. I don't even know that, but I will figure out a way to make it simple for students. So that's just kind of my specialty that I've been blessed with, because it's not so much about writing. That was more of a need that came out of it, but it's just, I like to take things and present them in a way, or do something in a way that makes it understandable for kids.
Right. Yeah. And I think that is so, so important. I want to ask about pricing and how you've priced things, because I think that's one of the biggest challenges and one of the most interesting things that everybody has to go on. Every business owner has to go on this journey of figuring out how in the world do you price your services? And especially in your position where at first, I mean, you're pretty much like writing down something and then selling it. And with a teacher's heart, I would guess that it was, you probably started out by drastically underpricing because you just had no idea what to do. And most people do that. So like, what's been your journey of starting by selling books out of your living room that you have no idea what you should charge, to now understanding like how to actually like price things in a way to like build and grow a business? What's that journey been like? And like, what was your first, it's always funny to ask, like, how much did you charge for your first thing?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because I look back at like invoices and what I was giving away that first year. For like, I think the whole package was like $1,000, which was like four kids and me coming to school like five times. That would probably be worth like $20,000 now. You know, it's like crazy the amount it's changed. But yeah, I started with my binder, like a little 2-inch binder with, I think there were 50 lessons, and I sold it for $50. Now I sell my kits for, depending on the grade level, $400, $450. But I would put like, I didn't know what I was doing. So I would try to package things. I thought maybe if I put them like in a, you can get four notebooks and I'll come out to your school two times to train and all this for this price. And I remember always thinking if I could just sell 10 packages, I could make this much and then I'd be good.
Right.
And,
you open your little Excel spreadsheet and like plug the things in, you're like, this will be awesome.
Exactly. Exactly. Half of it was like handwritten on paper, then it would go into Excel. Cause that even, I mean, I think I did my accounting on paper and pencil up until 3 years ago. But, so I would start, and then I would always look at competitors, but I still would do that. No, you're not there, Lisa. You can't charge that. Like no one's going to buy that from you. And so, I mean, it slowly went up. I mean, I think I went from like $50 to $150. But it wasn't until I teamed up with my business development team that I work with now. They're called the Mags Group. And I remember sitting in the meeting and the guy, Mike, saying, you got to charge more. And I was like, I can't. Like, who's going to buy that from me? And he's like, no, you've got to set your value. Let them know, this is valuable material. It's worth this. And I remember the first time we put prices up to like $250. And I was like, no one's going to buy it. No one made a peep. The same calls came through, the same sales, more sales. And even when we, for professional development, which means I come out and train, we've made that higher. If you want me, it's a higher price. And I said the same thing years later. No one's going to pay that much for me to come out. Like, it's not going to happen. And the next year, everyone would book and they'd say, we want the author. It was much less to have another member of my team. So I think it's just what I've learned is you have to know that your product's worth it and you have to put some sort of value behind it, because if you keep keeping it at $50 or $100, people are going to wonder why. So you've got to say it's worth this because this is, and kind of stick to that. And that's just been, I'd say in the last year or two, I've really figured that out, because I would always think no one was going to buy it,
Yeah. And there's this interesting thing in the resource realm where you're selling resources or services, where like perceived value is a very real thing. It's not just perceived, but like if, I'm hiring you as my coach and I'm hiring you for $100 for 10 meetings or something, then like, you know, I might show up and I might get value out of it. But like, you know, if I'm running late or something, like I'll just skip it or something. But if I give you 10 grand to like coach me, like you better believe I'm going to show up. And so I think also like when people invest more, they get more out of it. So you mentioned your team. Where are you guys at right now? Like, what does Top Score look like right now? And like, what's the vision? Like, where do you want to see this thing grow into? Now, do you look at yourself as like entrepreneur CEO?
Yeah, as of like a year and a half ago, I finally owned the title. Because I remember sitting in the meeting and someone saying, you know, we're introducing ourselves. And I said, well, I'm the author. And they're like, okay, who's the CEO? And I was like, and the CEO. Okay, who's the founder? And founder, you know, and I used to joke when people would call, schools would call me and say, oh, I talked to your bookkeeper yesterday. And in my head, I'm like, it's just me. Like, I'm the bookkeeper, I'm the accountant, I'm the sales rep, you know, so they would.
Yeah. Can I talk to your manager? Yeah, hold on one sec.
Yeah, let me change my voice. So, you know, I've grown, I have probably 15 to 20 people helping on different levels. We have different positions, lots of consultants. I have a lot of teachers on my team that are full-time teachers that do a lot of part-time work for me. For me, that's my thing, because I want people that are in it, that use it, that get it, you know, not just random. So I have a lot of teachers, especially going in the summer, like everyone's all already hitting up my phone saying, what do you got for me this summer? Because I've always got tons of projects.
Right. Yeah. And is all of your team there in Florida, or are they all over?
I've got a little bit all over. I got a part of my marketing is in New York. But for the most part, my curriculum, sales, people that are in it every day are in Florida. But, you know, thankfully through Zoom and all these cool platforms we have now, able to do things with people in other states. Because I have a lot of teachers that have reached out to from other states that want to work on projects. So that's been really interesting too. But, you know, my goal 2 years ago, I said, I want to take this nationwide, because I've been so stuck on Florida. And I guess it's just because that's where I live. That's where this was kind of made. I know the ins and outs of all the educational, you know, the state testing and standards and things like that. But, you know, I started getting calls from other states. So I would look at other state websites, and I thought, finally, it like dawned on me 2 years ago, this can work in pretty much any state. Writing is writing, you know, regardless of your state test, this is a life skill. And so I went with that saying, I want to go nationwide. And so now we're in, I think we're up to 7 different states. And so I just want to keep pushing this, because I always say my program's not a hard sell. It's not ever really convincing people. It's more of just getting it in the hands of teachers. Because once the teachers have it, they're thankful. It's a resource that they don't have. They don't have anything like that. So that's just my hope through social media and email and word of mouth, is just to keep spreading it to different states.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's going to be fun to see how you grow. So you build this business, then you become, you know, you start leading this school. How many students do you have in your school, and were they physically coming to school?
Yeah. So my school is middle and high school. We have about 45 students, and I try to keep it like less than 50. And I do it on purpose, because my kids come to me for a reason, right? Whether it's they have anxiety, been bullied, struggling in school, have dropped out, failed, whatever the issue is in regular school, they come to me. So if I have too many kids, I'll never be able to stay on top of every kid. You know, I like to stay on top of their story. Okay, she came to me because of anxiety. We need to make sure we're on top of that. They came to me because this. And so I keep it small. I don't have more than 10 kids in a class with a teacher, which is unheard of in regular school. So I do that on purpose. And so that's important to me with the school, because I feel like they come to me for that reason. I want to be able to make it different. If I did it like every other school, with hundreds of students, you know, be the same situation.
Yeah. So describe to me like end of February, early March 2020, which was a couple months ago, like how has this coronavirus pandemic, how has it impacted your world? I mean, how has it changed Top Score? Obviously, it's completely changed how school is done and stuff. So like, how has this kind of impacted all of the work that you're doing?
Well, at first, it obviously super scary just because the unknown, what are we going to do? But thankfully, I worked virtual school. I taught online for 3 years. So I kind of, I think maybe it's just the mom in me, but I kind of go into fix it mode. Like, I don't even worry. I don't overthink things. The minute I heard schools were closed, I was like, okay, going online, got this. And my teachers are like, what are we doing? And I'm like, don't worry. I did this for 3 years, you know, no big deal. And so I immediately, I had my top score team help me get a website for Coastal. And I just went through it with my teachers on how to teach virtually. I mean, because I had done it. For me, what was cool about teaching for virtual school was I learned how involved you can be as a teacher through the computer, like how much interaction, how much teaching you can still do. I remember thinking, I didn't think I was able to do that. And after teaching for those years through phone calls and live lessons and different things, I really felt like I knew my students teaching online. So I kept telling my teachers, that's what we need to do. We can't just post stuff online. We've got to keep that interaction. And also my kids, you know, like I keep saying, they come to me for a reason. So I can't just leave them at home. So I kind of went into full on, we're going online, let's go. I mean, we were up and running 3 days later, we were ready to go. And like I said, my teachers haven't done the virtual, so they kept looking at me like, are you sure? But I just kept along the way, you know, we kept having meetings, I kept coaching them, and it's been going really good. I'm gonna be honest, you know, my kids, and I think all kids are just struggling with doing work online. You know, especially teenagers, you know, it takes a lot to get up and do your work and submit on here and download from here. And so we've kind of in this last month transitioned to more live, more calls, because I saw they're not doing really well with doing the work on their own. So let's just get them in Zoom and we'll do 2-3 hours on here. And they just want to talk. We know they know it. We know they're looking at it, but it's just, my own kids, it's hard to know. I got to go on this website. I got to download this code here. So for my school, it's, you know, we've been changing along the way. And for top score, that's initially I thought, what can I do? Because I guess my mom mode kind of went on. I kept seeing everyone on Facebook and Instagram. Every mom was freaking out the first 2 days. How am I going to teach from home? I don't know what to do. And so I think on day two, I put a post. I said, I'm going to be offering free writing lessons. And every mom I know, oh my God, this is awesome. Thank you so much. And then like a few days later, I'm like, what are you going to do, Lisa? So I ended up doing, and I am now on my 7th or 8th week. I do 3 free writing lessons per grade level every week. So there are over 25 lessons per grade level that are all online for free right now. And it is myself or someone from my team teaching either through Zoom or GoToMeeting. And we did it in a way so parents or teachers can just have their students click and we are the teachers. No one needs to sit with them. It's kind of uploading, downloading. You watch the lesson at the end, you do the activity and it's done. So I mean, honestly, I'm a little like taken back that I was able to do all that, but it's funny how when you're a business owner, you just kind of, you're in survival mode. You're like, I gotta adapt. I gotta pivot, make it work. And so we did these free online lessons, and to get to them, you have to sign up with email and your name. And we have over 9,500 people that have logged in, and we have, you know, their information.
That's amazing.
So, it's been awesome.
Wow. What historically, what's the like split of revenue that's been like you selling to individuals versus you selling to like, you know, the districts or schools?
It's about 90% schools and districts. And then we'll get, you know, handfuls of teachers that will say, my school doesn't have it in their budget, or we'll get parents, I'm homeschooling my student. You know, even on the online portal right now, out of those 9,500, it's like a 50-50, 50% parents and 50% teachers.
Right.
We have them pick. And so I think I'm getting, you know, my pitch on the online lessons was, if you're a parent that want your child to have writing, or if you're a teacher, because I also always think of the teachers, I know they had to transform their whole classroom online in 3 days. So right. If I can take writing off their plate, don't make a writing lesson. Just send your kid to my website, your students, mm-hmm. they click on this lesson and that's taken care of for you.
That's awesome. What do you think the next, what's your prediction on what the second half of 2020 is going to look like when people start potentially coming back to schools and stuff? Like, how are you preparing, preparing for completely the unknown, to where, like, I mean, huge pieces of both of your business, you know, your business and your nonprofit, you just don't know what it's going to look like. So how are you kind of preparing for the fall in your position?
Yeah. So for my school, like, no matter what they say, even if they say we can all go back, no guidelines, no restrictions, my online portal is, I'm keeping that up and running, because if at any time this happens again, I want to have that ready to go. So right. the online part, and I, you know, I've been interviewed a lot in different news things, and everyone always says, you know, what do you suggest? That's always my suggestion. Keep the online part, because we never know if this is going to happen again, or, you know, what it may be. I think for my school, again, we're so small. Even if we do have restrictions, we will be able to do the 6 feet apart and social distance because we're small. However, for most schools, I think what we're looking at is a combination, like a hybrid of online school and in school. You know, if you have,
right.
I have a kid with asthma, he probably won't go back if this situation keeps going. You know, he'll probably stay online. So I think there needs to be an option. But there also may be, we've talked to many schools have said that they're going to do, like, some kids come in on Mondays and the other ones work from home, and then the next group comes in on Tuesday, or doing like a morning session, afternoon session, because these schools that have 35 kids in a class, there's no way you're doing 6 feet apart.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Maybe this will finally get school systems to prioritize smaller classes, which I understand, like, my wife works in the district, so I understand the logistics and stuff behind it, but I don't think anybody would deny that smaller class size is better.
Of course, right. And they're going to have to figure out a way. And I think, you know, there's some kids that do well with online. I taught virtual, you know, and there are many kids that are successful, but there are lots of this is, you know, is, I always keep reminding myself, as great as this is, listen, I love being home all the time with my kids. I love that we don't have 5 million sporting events every night. You know, I love the lazy Sundays, but there are a lot of kids that do not have good home situations, and they are stuck there right now. So we have to remember, this is not good for everybody. And, you know, a lot of kids come to school, that's their home. Like, they feel safe there. So I think no matter what, we've got to come back open, whether we do half and half, but some kids need the option to be able to stay from home, you know, for different sicknesses and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's been one of the saddest things, has been that, like, it seems like for, you know, for healthy families, for, you know, middle to upper class of our society, it's been like a really, really, really high inconvenience. Like, oh my gosh, right. Like, my whole life has been thrown upside down. But it seems like the majority of the people that this is, like, ruined their situation, or, you know, poured gas on a situation and inflamed it that was already terrible and is now way worse. It's typically, you know, families that are already on the brink of poverty, that are one paycheck away, that already have tough domestic issues. So I think that's been one of the hardest things to see about this whole scenario is, you know, the people that it's impacted the most, unfortunately, have been the people that were already struggling the most. And it's just been, I think that's been tragic, and I don't think a lot of people are realizing that and stuff. So yeah, you're totally right. And my wife, I mean, there's so many stories she's told me where you can tell that, like, these kids coming to school, like, that's the best, safest part of their day and stuff. And so I think that needs to get back when it can, but it's going to be interesting to see how that comes into play. What would your advice or kind of just words of encouragement be to other business owners out there that this is this has just been a crazy season, or even aside from coronavirus, everybody's going through crisis of some sort. This is a unique crisis because it's impacting every business, but like every business is going to have their own individual crises over years. So what would some of your like words of encouragement be to other business owners?
I think the main thing that I keep reminding myself and friends that have businesses is that, like you just said, this impacted us all, right? It's not just, it'd be different if it was just your business or your specialty. But I think that when we do fully reopen, some of us already started to, I feel like we're just going to come back bigger and better. People are ready to get out. They're ready to spend their money. They're ready to shop. And it's an opportunity too, to kind of do like a reopening. You know, it's an opportunity for people to look at you in a different way. Maybe it's a sale or a different product. But I've always encouraged people, take this time to, like, we have so much extra time, whether you're wanting to create another product, wanting to open another business, wanting to start something different in your business. It's a time to research that and take it and then come out at the end with, you know, something new and exciting. But even if you did nothing different, you know, like I know a lot of people that own gyms and hair salons that have just been really down in this time. You know, I think we're all ready to support you. So it's just knowing that we will come out of this. I think there's been a lot of great things that, you know, different loan programs and things like that, that people have taken advantage of. But just knowing that it will get back, and that I think, as long as we're all in this together and just to support each other.
Yeah, it will come back. And I believe it will look different. Like normal will look different. And there will, I think for the rest of my life, there'll be things that it's like, oh yeah, we started doing that, you know, in 2020. And that was when things changed, and different things like that. So I love that. We will come back. It'll be different though. Thank you so much for sharing your story and just some of your knowledge and expertise. And also I love that the work that you're doing is, I mean, you're solving the problems that you saw. And I think that's so valuable. How can people get in touch with you? How can people learn from you? This is your opportunity to give a shameless plug into what's going on in your world and how people can find you.
Perfect. Yeah. So my website is just lisacollum.com, and that'll lead you to both my businesses there, a little bit about my story. And then any social media is just my name is Lisa Collum, CEO. And, you know, through my social media, I try to do my mom stuff and my business stuff and motivation. So there's a little bit of everything there. So Lisa Collum, CEO.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thanks so much for joining the show, Lisa, and sharing your story. And best of wishes to you at Top Score and at your school as hopefully things start to reopen and get back to the new normal.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Do you want to grow an online brand that is profitable and authentic? Do you know that you have a ton of great ideas for content that you want to create, but you need accountability and strategy? Do you want to grow online, but online marketing just seems overwhelming? If your answer is yes to any of these questions, then I want to personally invite you to join our private marketing community, successwithstories.com. Success with Stories is the premier community for purpose-driven businesses committed to growing online by marketing with stories. Inside of successwithstories.com, you will learn how to create online content that converts, how to build a connection with your audience that outlasts any crisis. And most importantly, you're going to learn how to grow your business in a way that feels authentic to you. Honestly, right now in 2020, things are a bit crazy and unpredictable for all businesses. And so we think it's really important to show you how you can build a crisis-proof online brand. Head to www.successwithstories.com to join Success with Stories. Don't wait another day. We'll see you inside of Success with Stories.